The information presented is for informational purposes only. The opinions expressed are not necessarily the opinions of any Daikin company. This information should not be confused for accounting, legal, medical, or other professional advice. Please seek advice from a qualified professional for any specific questions.
It's actually a very safe refrigerant. Daikin wants to be involved in the community.
Making another touch point to build my brand.
So the first question we ask everyone is,
welcome to Accelerated HVAC Success. My name is Ben Middleton. I'm the National Sales Training Manager for the Goodman, Amana, and Daikin brands. Today we are in Colorado Springs, and I'm at Smith Plumbing and Heating, and we're joined with Mike Robinson, who has done it basically all in the HVAC industry. Mike has started and ran his own HVAC companies. He's consulted for other businesses. He's partnered up with companies in other states, such as Florida, Indiana, and now he finds himself here in Colorado Springs, where Mike, so good to see you.
My pleasure, Ben.
You bought Smith Plumbing a couple of years ago, and they hadn't even broken the $1 million mark, correct?
That's right. Yeah, they've been in business about 43 years, and in this building for about 20 years of that, and just down the street, there was another building they were in, a little smaller than this one, that they moved here to in 1998.
Okay.
Of course, we bought them in 2018.
In that time, since you've bought the company, you've experienced tremendous growth.
Yeah, so when we bought them, their biggest year ever was $640,000 in sales. Within 5 years, we were at about $16.5 million. And clearly, we grew in this building, and it's only 2,800 square feet. So we were really on top of each other. There was no other room to grow. In fact, we didn't even have a cafeteria because that was the accounting office where the kitchen was, right? So we really needed to grow. We needed to expand. And what we did was we bought this property in the back as really a parking lot.
Okay.
Our original, we bought it about 2 years in, and we put down just some road base. And we parked all our vehicles there. And the reason for that is we went from originally three vehicles when we bought the company. Two were creeper vans. They weren't even marked. So people would call us when we showed up like, hey, there's a van outside our door. Is that you guys? So quickly we got wraps done and we wrapped the vans. But we also have gone from three vans to 93. And we needed the space not only to park, but to grow. So we built this building on the property about 2 years ago, and we went from 2,800 square feet to 13,000 square feet, 3,000 up and down, 10,000 warehouse. And what it's allowed us to do is to attract really good people to our business, not only technicians who we have a shower area for them if they get too dirty. We have lots of easy access. We have a tech cafeteria almost. Plus a professional office space, professional furniture, that we attract the kind of talent we needed to grow to the next level.
So you started off, you grew the business from three trucks to, how many trucks do you have now?
93
trucks. That takes a little bit of a different level of thinking.
Having gone through this process, that we were able to develop the systems we needed in order to take the business to the next level. Because you need, obviously, training, which I'm so thankful for you and all you do, because a lot of that training has helped us develop talent within the company. But you need recruiting, you need great HR, you need a lot of things to help you grow beyond a $5 to $10 million business.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are the plans in the next 4 or 5 years?
So with this building and with some of the innovations we're doing within the industry to try to bring contractors that have not been part of the private equity roll-ups and things, bring them together as more of a consortium within the communities we work with, working together rather than competing against one another. Our plans are to go from here to Denver. We already go to Pueblo, we already go to Canyon City, to grow to about $50 million. That's sort of my personal goal with the years I have left in the industry. So I'd like to see us get to $50
million. Okay. Well, why don't we head inside and we can continue our
Sounds
conversation
good.
In there.
Great.
Hey,
Mike, you know, the first thing I want to know, and I think a lot of our viewers would want to know, is we talked about it a little bit while we were walking up here to your shop. What type of thinking does an HVAC contractor, because obviously you've seen the smaller ones, you bought the smaller business that was in Racine, Aero Heating and Air Conditioning, and repeated basically that same blueprint here. What would you say is the big difference between the contractor that's been running a business for 10, 15 years, kind of stuck with the 3-4-man shop, and what prevents them from being able to go to the next level?
Yeah, we see that a lot, actually, Ben. And you know, I've been doing the consulting as mm-hmm. well as owning my business for a long time. One of the things that I talk to contractors about when they are smaller is if you're working in the business for any length of time, it's very difficult to work on the business. There's other skill sets that need to come to play if you're going to grow beyond the ability to diagnose an air conditioner or a furnace or to even train or do maintenance or installs. That's the operational part of the business, and that's what drives a lot of guys to the business. But to grow a business and to set up strategic long-term plans and things like that, you really need to understand all of what I'll call the support parts of a business. So accounting, taxation, insurance, legal, admin as far as hiring people to answer the phones, train them on what to say. There's coaching, there's sales management, there's marketing. So there's many other things. And I think what happens is those contractors that are really just trying to own a job and manage operational excellence in their business, it's very difficult for them to grow to those next levels because they're limited by their comfort zone on what their business does.
You know, I think so many business owners back in the 90s, the E-Myth came out.
Right.
And it talked about just that, what you talked right. about. You know, you can't work in the business, you have to work on the business. And I think people have heard that over and over and over again. But it's still such a hard transition. You know, Ken Goodrich, he just wrote the HVAC, the E-Myth for HVAC contractors. Again, saying the same thing. But still, there's a majority of our industry that is out there can't seem to get over that hurdle.
Yeah. There's a lot of great operators out there. I've been fortunate enough to know a lot of them mm-hmm. over the career. Really, many of them were part of the Contractor Success Group, CSG, back in the day. Mm-hmm. And one of the things we all learned was that in order to grow, we had part of your intro to HVAC with CSG was reading the E-Myth, back mm-hmm. original Michael Gerber's original yeah. book. And I had been trained a little differently, but it really opened my eyes to the things that you need to do versus the things that you don't know you don't know, and to open up the things to them. So from a development perspective of a business structure, if you cannot let go of the operational piece and train people to handle that while you build your business, there's a couple ways to go with this. I know we'll touch on that probably later, but the first one is you hire somebody in who can actually be a general manager and help you in those areas while you manage the things that you're good at. The other one is you partner with a company that can help facilitate some of that for you and share in the growth and share in the things that help you get where you need to be. But you have to understand that the pie is not finite. The pie is infinite. And by working with other companies, you increase your opportunities for a piece of the pie, which again grows based on what your offerings are and what your success in developing tangential strategies to the core business.
I think that's so important. Is I heard another contractor say this really, really well, and it kind of struck me because it was a different way of looking at it. They said, whatever you feel really comfortable with and you think you're really good at, that's what you need to be training other people to do. Because the only way we expand is to get uncomfortable, right? And so you have to expand into those areas of the business that you're uncomfortable and start to learn those. But if you're if you've mastered something and you're really good at that, train other people to do that specific task, and you're almost creating obsolescence for yourself, right? If I can train everybody to do everything that I do, and I can give all of that back and have those positions doing that, and I think that's the I look at other industries, and it's very interesting to me because there's people that have built huge companies and organizations. Some choose to be in it because they just love business and they love doing that, but others will literally, that business runs on its own, and they can go on vacation for 3 or 4 months. They can go do other things that they want because they know it's a well-oiled machine and it's going to continue to run and work. And in the HVAC industry, when you're working in the business and you're crucial to the success of the business can only grow as your capacity to be able to handle that growth.
Mm-hmm. Give you a couple of examples.
Yeah.
First thing is that there's no magic size to a business. So if you're profitable and you're making money, it's not shameful. It's not you're not letting yourself or your family down to run a nice $2 million business running at a 20% or 15%, 10% profit. I mean, if you're making $200,000 to $400,000 a year, running a good business, taking care of your customers, taking care of your people, there's nothing wrong with that. And I'll take it to the other extreme. There's most people know of Jimmy Hiller in Nashville. I can tell you, I called on Jimmy when we were setting up Bimax back in the day. Called on Jimmy when he was a 6 or 7 plumber shop working out of a house off I-65. And today is what, $250 million business. And, you know, Jimmy's a plumber. But he surrounded himself with amazing people. He has a very intuitive knowledge or intuitive feel for what's right and what's the best way to go. So, you know, if you're able to bring in people and release control to them to grow your business, you know, I'm telling everybody out there, I knew Jimmy back in the day when he was like a 6 or 7 plumber shop.
Yeah.
And today he's $250 million plus dollars running an amazing empire. And he did that through letting other people participate and help him grow his business. So you can be whatever you want, but I think you got to be true to yourself and what's comfortable for you and how you do things.
So let's talk about your company here a little bit. What are kind of the steps going from those 3 trucks that we talked to over 90 trucks now today? What were some of the steps that you went through in building this great location that you have here?
So one of the first things as a business owner, if you're going to grow a big business, you have to be comfortable with is deferring gratification. Mm. So as you're building profits, you're reinvesting them in the business. I've seen some contractors who are very good at what they do grow a business and start making $1 million plus a year. Next thing you know, they have an RV, a boat, a vacation home, and other things. Well, those are taking assets away from the goal. If your vision, which my vision was when we bought this, to grow to 20 million, if your vision is to grow to a certain size, you better lay out the roadmap to get there because it doesn't happen by itself. Mm. And so when you take on $3 or $4 million worth of capital goods, whether that's trucks or machinery or tools or whatever, and you don't have the ability to write a check for $3 or $4 million, you better be very stringent of what you do in your personal life as you're growing your vision for your company. So number one, you need assets. You need money, and that either comes from your company, comes from your family, comes from an investor. But if you want control, you need to take those dollars you're generating and reinvest them in the business, not only on assets, but training your people and marketing and branding and other things. So what we did was, not my first rodeo, right? So I think this is my 4th business. So use the framework we used back in the day, and you were part of that at Arrow, where we took a brand in the market and we simply grew the brand, marketed the brand, hired and trained great people, yourself included, and we were able to create the brand of a trusted company that delivered great service at a fair price, which I think is also, you have to decide in your market what kind of brand you're going to be. And that's what we did. And then as we grew, we grew pretty quickly. So we went, the first year, we went from the prior year, which we weren't part of, 600,000 to 2.2 million, to 4.8 million, to 9.6 million, to 14 million, to 16.5. So we grew pretty quickly, and that put a lot of pressure on a lot of things. Now, for two more years, so we said, okay, we're at this size, we need to grow, but we kind of got a little too far over our skis. So we pulled it back a little bit, and I think we did just around 15 million then the next 2 years while we build this place, while we shored up all our standard operating procedures, where we did a lot of investing in the next growth phase of the company. And this year we did a couple of acquisitions, small acquisitions and things, rebranding. And this year we'll peak 20 million on our way to, as we grow this over the next 5 years, to 50 million.
And it's just amazing what you've done here. I mean, I remember just you toured this place with us a couple months ago, and you know, I was super impressed with the maintenance bay you have for your trucks. So bringing that in home, but you're talking about operational efficiencies. You're talking about where, and that's where it gets fun. As you scale the business and you grow the business, there are things that you can do. And again, it's a different thinking. And each little kind of notch, each step that you go up, you're looking at where can we optimize, where can we save costs. I love what you've done. You've got several different brands that are in the market, so that you can actually be a service provider for other HVAC contractors. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think the future, as an industry, and we were there in the beginning when all consolidation started back in the day with Service Experts and ARS and Blue Dot and Comfort Systems USA. Mm-hmm. A lot of consolidators came, but they weren't private equity; they were public companies, and the motivation to join them was the fact that we had utilities coming into our market, we had money coming into our market, and the little guys, and I wasn't little, but you know, we had some concern, could we compete in an arena where there was, we were going to see some gorillas, you know, money from a money perspective. That's happening again now. We have some very big consolidators in this market doing some very good business. They've learned a lot. They're a lot sharper than the money guys were when we did this originally back in the 90s. And if you're going to compete as an independent in this market, you have to learn to leverage where they're not. If a private equity company comes into the market, they're going to be able to outspend you on marketing, outbrand you, out-hire talent to your business. There's lots of things that they can do, but if you play in their pool, they'll dominate you. So what we've done is we've created sort of our own pool, and we've gone to contractors in our market and we've said, look, we have, at this point, we have $5 or $6 million worth of sewer equipment, backhoes, trucks, specialty equipment for HVAC. How about we partner under a brand that's not Smith? So if you're say Eagle Heating and Air, Smith Plumbing and Air Conditioning isn't coming in with a truck behind you to complement your business. It's actually a different brand that's non-competitive to you in the market, yet it allows you to offer services way beyond your means and compete without losing that customer, right? And so if you can't do a package unit or you can't do a rooftop unit, but you have a customer that wants that, we have a way of now partnering with you to say, hey, let our technicians, our talent go in and do it under a non-Smith brand.
Right.
And you sell it, you get a really nice, basically commission to sell it, 15 to 20%, and we'll go in and do the job for you. And so that leverages your customer relationships the way you want to make the money you need to. And I think the more that I see it happening in the marketplace with more and more consolidation, I think that's the way the independents that want to stay independent, that don't want to sell, or you're small and they're not really offering you anything, that's the way you compete, is you get together in your market and you form maybe an independent brand that you all participate in, and then you share in the joint development of those resources.
Well, Mike, thank you so much. This has been fascinating, just learning how you've built this business and how you have put it together. Next week, we're going to get together again, and we're going to talk about, you've got kind of an interesting perspective on pricing and how that may be different than what a lot of other contractors have been doing. But I want to talk about that and how that has really helped you differentiate in the marketplace and really grow your business to where it is today. So thank you so much for joining us,
Look
Mike.
Forward to it. Thanks,
Appreciate
man.
Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
And for all of you that are out there, if you liked this episode, please make sure you hit the like button. Also, make sure that you're following us or you're subscribing to the channel so that you can be informed of all of our upcoming episodes. Until next time.
It's actually a very safe refrigerant.
Daikin wants to be involved in the community.
Making another touch point to build my brand.
So the first question we ask everyone is,